Blog Talk Radio. everyone, and welcome to your place. This is Starla, and we appreciate you all for being here tonight. Our topic tonight is on global warming and what do you feel about green technology and can man affect the weather. Remember, if you're listening by phone and want to join the conversation, just press 1. And now, here's our host, Wild Bill.
Hello, everybody. Hope you're doing okay. How are you doing, Starla?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Pretty good. It seems pretty funny. When I first was scheduling this show, I was up in North Dakota where there was still like 3.5 feet of snow on the ground. And, you know, the weather was, you know, all this strange snow. Although in Dallas, Texas the other day, I was talking to our sister-in-law on Facebook, and she said they got 7 inches of snow in Dallas, Texas. And every time, you know, people talk about the weather and the snow, or that the topic comes up, global warming, they make all these jokes like, yeah, what was Al Gore thinking about global warming? We're about to freeze to death, and the snow is about to come up here and bury us. And I've been places around the country where they haven't even seen their ground since, like, November of last year. You know, it's been pretty serious. And then I know today everybody's wanting to talk about the insurance and what's passed the bill and everything and all the fears and everything go along with that. And we probably will bring up that topic later as we get more facts on it. And I'll be the first to confess, I have looked in a couple of stores to see if I could find the audio book on what was written about global warming, because I hear, you know, different excerpts from it and everything. And I hate to speak about things where people just kind of make up what they want to say. You know, they talk about certain points and they hammer that and the whole thing. But there are some things that we do know for sure. We do know that the temperature has changed as an average means of temperature, I think it's going back since 1980, very dramatically. And, you know, a lot of people of faith are talking about, well, that has nothing to do with man. That is strictly, you know, the change in the weather patterns and stuff. That's just God, or it's the way the system is set up to run. And then the other thing is there's millions of dollars that are being spent on green technology. And with our economy like it is, a lot of people are saying, like, why? Why in the world would we be doing something like this now? And then they go back to, you know, we have these oil reserves and gas reserves up in Alaska that are not being tapped. And so I would like to go ahead and open up the floor here for people to give us their thoughts on this. A lot of people think that I have an opinion based on the fact that I say a lot of things that seem to be pro-Democrat versus pro-Republican. And this is not really, to me, it's not a political issue. You can kind of tell where I stand on this with the song that was played. You know, looking at all the things that we've done as man to this world, you know, should we really be happy? You know, I was reading in the Bible about it today where God gave us this earth. He gave man dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish in the sea, all the plants. He let Adam name. He brought all the animals up before him. He named them all. I even read something today I didn't even realize where God actually made, he designed and made all the plants before he made them part of the earth. And I was like, do what? You know, that's what an awesome God we have, that he actually had all these things put together. And then he made a garden. He worked it himself. He made a garden in Eden, and he put man there, and he gave him one commandment. It's all yours. You know, you have dominion over everything. It's yours to work and take care of, and just stay away from that one tree. That's it. Don't eat of the fruit, the knowledge of good and evil, and this is all yours. I've put this together for you. And I was like, you know, wow. You know, just to think about, I know when I buy a fairly expensive toy for my children when they were smaller, nothing would aggravate me more than to see things just them to destroy it, not to take care of it, not to respect what it was that they got. And I wonder sometimes, you know, God gave it to us to take care of, but there used to be these old commercials I used to show with this Tennessee trash, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but it showed people driving down the road and throwing trash bags out the window, and eating their sandwich and throwing their sandwich bag out the window and their paper cups and their beer bottles and things. And then they had this one old Indian sitting off to the side looking at what used to be pristine land with all these mountains and deer and bear and everything. And then it looked like a dump all down through there. And he had this tear running down one eye. And so, you know, there's all kinds of ways to look at this. I'm not the expert on this. Don't claim to be. Like everybody, I have an opinion. But I'd like for us to go ahead and open up the phones right now. And if you got something you'd like to share of what you know about global warming or what you think about it or the money spent on green technology, we want to open it up right now for you to share what you have. Has nobody got their hand raised?
Nobody. Oh, we have
All right.
a caller.
All right.
7473, you're on.
That's me. This is Kaz. How you
got
it?
How are you
well,
tonight?
Well, praise the Lord. Well, I'm doing very well, thank the Lord. I don't know. You know, when the word know, K-N-O-W, is the beginning of knowledge. And I have no knowledge or wisdom concerning global warming, but I have a real strict opinion. And, you know, I've read a lot of things, and most recently what I've read has been this evening. It's called Evidence for Global Warming by Dr. Larry Hartman. And he just talks about how the global warming issue will not go away. And it says that evidence continues to mount that some type of warming is occurring, maybe temporarily or of longer duration. And it goes on to talk about people who have absolutely said there is global warming, such as Al Gore and all the books he's written, and all the things that they have proven about global warming. But then even this doctor of global warming, this doctor that's a PhD in this study, he said, He said, I have no sufficient evidence to prove that there is global warming. So he's just leaving it as it is concerning to this. He talked about Al Gore a lot and all the things that people have done and others. But since Al Gore did write the book about it, and we know that he is a natural nature lover, global warming appears to have been occurring like the last 30 to 50 years. This warming is still inconclusive whether man is causing the warming or not. No natural causes for global warming have been confirmed. One possible new theory is that galactic cosmic radiation will cover and cause global warming. Now, being that said by someone with a PhD and me that I barely got out of high school, I have another book called The Bible in my lap right now. And I have a little thing to say. God is in control of the elements, not Al Gore, not our government, not our presidents or our senators or our representatives. God is in control. So I do agree there is some warming that is being done. There's some things I've heard today and last week that I don't agree with. They say the polar ice caps are melting. That is a big fat lie because I just came from the top of the world where they just had the count, the annual count of polar bears, which Al Gore did get to be on the endangered species list, and they said they just pay no attention to that because God gave them the polar bears to eat and to wear and to use, and God put them in that part of the country. And they have 25,000 polar bears there, and they're surviving, they're eating, they're reproducing. The polar cap is not melting, according to the people and I was at the very top of the world. I mean, you can't go hardly any further at the top of the Arctic Ocean. Above Alaska, above the United States, they are saying we don't have global warming. Back to the U.S., back to our country, that most everybody talks about global warming. Let me just share a scripture, if I may, with you in the book of Genesis, when the Lord destroyed the world by water. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 11, the Bible said, the Lord said, I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there be any more flood to destroy the earth. God said, this is a token in the covenant that I give to you for a perpetual generation. I will set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a covenant. The covenant was, the token rather, is I won't destroy the world by water. But here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, the world is going to be destroyed again, but this time by fire. This second epistle, beloved, I now, which I, up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Verse 11 says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, the world as we know it shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation? Well, I got chapter 2. That's still a good rate. And verse 11, in all holy conversation, looking for and lasting and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. This is God's business, folks. Listen to this. I just felt a while ago when I was reading that scripture, I said, Lord, are you getting your kindling together? I used to have to build a fire every morning. You know what? I had to get my kindling together before the fire ever blazed. I had a little thing going underneath when the wood is stacked on the fire dogs. There's a space underneath for the kindling, and I would light those little strips of wood. You know what? And after a while, when the wood dried out, it caught on fire, and it was a blazing fire. So what I'm saying is there is warming on the earth, but I believe it's God preparing the elements for his fire. What about you guys?
Well, that's definitely an interesting way to look at it. And I agree 100% that this is God's plan, because nothing happens without his permission. The world ain't going to get hot unless God says, okay, you're going to get hotter. You know, it ain't going to rain unless God says, okay, we're going to let it rain. You know, seed's not going to bear forth, you know, fruit unless God blesses it. And so I agree with you 100% on that. And I do think that the main emphasis is not on global warming, not on green technology, not on insurance things that the government's putting up with, but to realize that this world is going to be destroyed. This was meant to be a temporary place, because God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth to replace, you know, what's here right now. And I don't really know. The thing about killing, that is a good example of what's happening. This world reminds me of a watch that's been wound too many times, although I don't think they make watches you got to wind anymore. But, you know, you used to have to wind a watch in the spring. You used to get kind of stretched in it. And it's getting to where everything is just is not quite keeping time. Things are just not quite as they should be. And I do think that the main emphasis of all this is that God's coming back for a church that's pure, that's holy, that's right, and if you're not ready, you're not going to make it, and you're going to a place that you're not going to want to go. It ain't that once you die here, it's over. But so many people talk about this, I did want to bring this up to open the discussion to see what people had to say about it. Did you have anything? What about the green technology, Sister Kaiser? What do you think about all that?
Well, again, this is God's earth and God's world. I'll tell you what all this is, basically, Brother Bill. What all this is it's politics, and it's somebody I heard say a while back, it's all these fat cats in Washington. That's exactly right. It filters money through politicians, not to their constituents as much, but they have fat wallets, fat bank accounts, and anything that can scare the small-minded American. Oh, my goodness, all this green technology. We've got to go green. We've got to do this. You know, what we need to do is everybody pick up their own trash, take care of themselves, keep the house clean, keep their bodies clean, brush their teeth, gargle, go to church, get the Holy Ghost, repent of your sins, live a good life, live a clean life, and all this other stuff will work out by itself. And you know what? This world's been here how many years?
It depends on who you talk to.
Yeah, you're right. It depends on which and whoever, but we know that it's been around a long time, and I know that God, these smoke, where does smoke go? Well, it dissolves away in the atmosphere. God is running this earth. But we have come to the point that our nation is the only nation out of 350 nations. Our nation is the only one that was originally founded on the belief of there is a sovereign God, and then allowing every American to follow that thing according to it takes their own heart. But we don't have hardly anybody in office that I know of that even believes in a God. Oh, they say they do, because we got these radical Tea Party people and all these other people who say there is a God. But our nation per se really do not. They believe it's their world to run and their world to make constituents bow down to them. And that's just how I may be way off the beam. That's how I feel about it. All we can do is pray for the politicians, whoever they are, that pray that God can get a hold of them and turn things around. But all these things are going to happen when the world starts getting a little bit warmer and warmer and warmer. It could be a good sign for the Christians. If we're ready to go, this world getting warmer, it's the prelude to an explosion of heat. And I sure don't want to be here, do y'all?
No, and it's not just the world getting warmer that they can record that, you know, the average, you know, mean temperature per year is getting warmer and warmer. We're having earthquakes, tsunamis. You know, my cousin said something to me the other day, and it really has stuck out in my mind on a lot of things. Is God is not surprised by anything.
Or anything.
Yeah. He's not surprised when a tsunami comes in and it goes over the land and people are injured and things. And he's not surprised when a tornado comes. He's not surprised that the temperature is changing. None of these things surprise him because he is aware of everything going on. And it's all happening according to his plan. Even if man is making an impact of what's causing this, God knew they were going to.
Sure.
So
he said in the last days there shall be. He said in the last days in the book of Mark there shall be earthquakes in divers or various places in the places that have not ever anticipated earthquakes. There'll be divers and earthquakes in divers places, and there would be storms, and there would be all of this weather pattern. All of the trouble is predicted in the Word of God. It's there.
Yeah.
Strange and unusual things, according to the weather and the atmosphere, is predicted in the Word of God. There is nothing ever that has or ever will be out of God's range or God's control. You know, like he lets men run it for so long a while, but when mankind gets too big for their britches, man, you still see them come through 13 Islamic countries and wipe out thousands.
Yeah, what it talks about, there's going to be wars and there's going to be rivers of blood flowing through valleys and things. I mean, we're talking about...
The horse's bridle, we're talking about 6 feet of blood.
Yeah, unless they got some little bitty horses.
Yeah, no, I think it's army-sized horses here, but...
I think so, too.
Yeah, God has this in control, and it's a lot of good talking points, but ultimately, like I said, it's not our politicians... It's God. God has the final answer to it all. All I want to do is make my, about like the Bible said, make my calling, my election sure, and know in whom I have believed. And I don't believe in a lot of things in our nation that's going on, but I believe in God, and I believe His Word. I know His Word, and I trust that. Here's the thing. Some people have a wishy-washy, watered-down, chicken-hearted, lily-livered, pacified little experience they call Christ. I'm talking about when you're really sold out, filled with the Holy Ghost, really living the life. There's no fear. There's no fear in faith.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. If you really believe something and you're standing on it, you know, with 100% assurance, you're not afraid. And, you know, the Bible tells us God didn't give us a spirit of fear. But I will have to say that when, you know, things happen, like when I got laid off from my job, and then you get to looking and... you know, what's happening with the economy and the job market, my first instinct, and I'm ashamed to admit it, was not to look at God and think, well, I'm standing upon this rock, this firm foundation. My first thing was, oh, my God, what am I going to do? You know, start looking to the left and looking to the right and looking behind me and, you know, wanting to blame the political leaders for letting us get in this situation and everything and wanting to judge, you know, who was right and who was wrong and, you know, why I'm in this situation that I'm in. And that's, you look all through the Bible, and that's exactly what it tells us we're not supposed to do if we're one of His. And so it's, I don't know. I do know that people are going to be people. I do know that you can take personalities in people, and they are going to be who they are according to who they are. But I'm so thankful that we're serving a God who knows each of us by our uprisings, our downfallings. He knows our hair's numbered on our head, which in my case, that's not a very big number, so he don't have to retain much on that one. But it's one of those things that if we really believe what we say we believe, and that's what I really think, that we need to get down to the basics of it. What do you believe? Now, if you're a person that's not of faith and you're just looking at the facts of the global warming. You see all the snow that we had in Washington and some of the strange things, like I think they had some snow in Austin, Texas this year.
How about Arkansas? They've already had 10 inches in Arkansas.
Yeah. I mean, just people being slammed in things. And then I tried to email some people that are supposed to be experts in all this, and, you know, the thing they came back with, well, it's wintertime every year this time of year. You know, there has been records recorded of, you know, late snowfalls and things like that all across the country. And, you know, but they're saying that really if you read, and I haven't done it, they said if you read Al Gore's book, they're talking about with this global warming that there's going to be more moisture in the air, and they said that the winters are going to get harder and harder. And with what's happening is it's going to change not just the weather in an area, but it's going to change the climate in an area. So I don't, you know, and it's really funny. It's real easy if you're not careful to take scripture. You can prove either side of an argument sometimes with scripture if you just want to take one scripture. And I want to remind everybody again, just because we say something from the Bible, there's a lot of time you need to read the before and after to a scripture and just throw out there, well, this scripture said this. And this scripture says that. And that's what I love about what you were doing, Sister Kaiser, is that you were bringing out points that brought out the complete point. You didn't just take one scripture and try to twist the wording around to make it say what you wanted it to say. And I appreciate you doing that.
Thank you. Well, we try to get it right as we can. Or good.
I appreciate it.
I just tell you, Brother, I just really, I just believe that everybody, if we'll just do the best we can, God knows our limitations. He knows all about us inside out. He knows what we can't, cannot. We'll just be, number one, honest and true and faithful to God. But when all these things come against us, we're not going to be afraid because we are in his court and he's on our side if we continue to do the right thing and continue. And in fact, Paul said, continue the things you have learned and received and do them.
Yeah.
So we all need to do that, and I don't really get really bothered about the weather, and I obviously I'm afraid of going where it's 84 degrees below zero with a wind chill factor minus 105, and it's not any warmer. But I know there's a lot of atmospheric things that can happen that do change. The jet stream can cause a lot of things. Some of these jets can cause a lot of things too. But
yeah. Well, I was curious if you had been to the Arctic, if maybe what you had heard up there, because we were watching this thing here a while back that they had done on the polar bears and the seals up in the north, and they were showing how the ice is melting. The ice is not staying froze as long as it normally is. And I was like, you know, cold is cold. I mean, that's like I've been some places where, you know, it's like 15 below zero or 20 below zero with the chill factor. And to me, I can't imagine where you were at. I thought, man, I can't get enough clothes on.
Can you imagine being at 84 degrees below zero and the wind chill factor, which makes it even colder seemingly, is 105 degrees below? And I asked some of these people in parliamentary leadership up there, in parliament, people that have, they're politicians and they know the ins and outs of all things going on. And I said, is it true? And they said, well, not here it is. It may be for you, but up here it is not. They call it everything up here. Up here it's not like that. I said, the polar cap. Is it ice melting? No, no. And what they say is this, you know, well, I hate to call names, but this newspaper or organization came up through their country a few years ago and took out pictures. And then when they saw the pictures, it was not what they took. They modified them digitally. And while that's what they're doing, they said, we have things up here that we have never seen melt. We're talking about people who are in their 60s, almost 70 years. They said permafrost means that. It means permanent. It never does melt. They've got you walk on. You're walking on. When we go there, we're just walking on ice. It really isn't snow. It's total ice. And some of that never melts. So anybody want to go to the Arctic, just call me and pay our airline ticket and I'll take you there.
I think I'll stay down here and gripe about the weather here for a while.
Hey, in 2008, I went in March, and I have pictures of it where they announced that it was the first day of spring. you know, at like the second week of March. And here the kids are out there doing handsprings on the ice without their big parkies because spring. And it, to me, it was still cold. It was still, you know, way below zero and freezing. But that to them, that's their life. That's their lifestyle. And they don't think a thing about it. But thank God they have it because they're still eating whale meat and they're still eating seal meat and they're still taking the furs to make their. They said God showed us, our ancestors, how to make our coats and our cummets, which are the boots, out of the hides and the fur and the lining. I mean, they do all of that. And sister, your mother and I, we have been to their classes when they're doing this. And it's just amazing. So if anybody doesn't believe it, they are most welcome to go and come back and shout the victory.
Well, we appreciate you calling in. Was there anything else on the points on this that you wanted to make before we see if we got somebody else that wants to add?
Go ahead and take them, brother. I'm sorry. You go right ahead. God bless y'all.
All right. We appreciate you, Sister Kaiser.
All right. Appreciate y'all more.
Well, we had some real good points come in from Sister Kaiser, and she's been up there in the Arctic where it's not just cold, it's like brr cold. So does anybody else have any comments on what they think about the global warming and, you know, the green technology and everything? We want to give everybody a chance to weigh in and share what they think on this. Okay, on the radio, silence is not golden. All you people have something to say. Go ahead.
Here's your mom. Blog Talk Mom, you're on.
Hello, hello.
Got an echo.
I don't hear no echo. I said it twice.
Oh, I thought I... That's the echo. No, I've got one coming back on this phone. I'm going to change. This geyser's laughing at me. you hear the echo?
No.
Well, as long as I hear it, I don't guess it matters. I have an unusual outlook, I guess, about subjects like this. I find it unnerving and stressful when I hear Christians make harsh, hateful remarks. I was speaking with a man that's he's real high up in a church today. I was speaking to him today, and I mentioned that I was going to be on the program. What did he think about global warming? And his blood pressure shot up, and his face turned red, and he told me just how stupid and just how ignorant and blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, what do you think about the Institute for Creation Research? And he kept the same tone of voice. He didn't have any use for that at all. And I said, well, now, most of them are your organization, and they're scientists that believe in the Bible. He said, oh, well, he said, I don't read much. And I thought, no, you don't. You know, people don't read much. They hear what somebody else says, and people like to vent. They can be upset about their toast being burnt in the morning or whatever, and something happens that they have no control over, and then they vent. And to me, personally, that is such a waste because, just like Reverend Kaiser said, it's a great tool. And like you said, Wild Bill, you can look at anything. You can even take, like you said, the Word of God and go at one point from totally opposite sides. But if a person is really hungry for information and has a desire to learn more and to share more and to become more profitable, then they're going to take information in, they're going to weigh it, and, you know, since I do believe the Word of God, I don't believe in evolution as far as species to species. I don't believe in a million-year-old earth. I don't believe in anything that would be contrary to the Word of God. Then if someone speaks something like that, rather than get mad, which is usually, anger is usually a first sign of you not knowing what you're talking about or don't know how to explain it. Just calm down and make that an opportunity and a stepping stone to tell those people about the Word of God and how it's not just history, it's not just archaeology, it's not just science, but in every situation through thousands of years where it speaks concerning these things, it has never, ever been in error, and my life and my eternity is based upon the Word of God. Whereas if their life is based upon these things, like trying to not burn up the oxygen in the air, which is a great idea, but if that's what their life is based on, or trying to preserve this earth, they're in a world of hurt because they're not going to live much more than 100 years anyway. So, I mean, I hope I'm not rambling. I'm just saying that instead of arguing points that we really don't have any, you know, it's just your opinion is just as good as mine. You've got certain information. I've got certain information. But why not make it a positive thing?
Yeah, well, most of this we have to all agree that what people are doing is they count their association with a political party, and then they listen to the points of what, you know, the highlight points of what they put out as to why they believe what they believe to go along with their agenda. And that's like I had someone talking about with this insurance thing, talking about abortion. You know, that's a big thing. You know, if you vote this party, then you must be for abortion. And if you vote this party and everything, they're against it. But if you look at the history of our country, neither one of them want to do away with it. One of them says because it's pro-choice and we're liberal, and the other one doesn't want to do it because they don't want to pay for all these, you know, poor people having children. And so it doesn't matter who's in power. You know, they got two things they're looking at. They want to have the power to have the control and the money that goes along with it, because that's why you don't have the churches actually going and setting up a political party to go in there and do something about abortion, because the money is not going to be there. But they're so blind to take millions of dollars and put it into one party or the other, and I'm not going to say which, but we all know who the churches seem to support, and not look at the facts of what's being it's easy to do lip service. And I was sharing with Stola, I heard something the other day with this guy that had one of the biggest methamphetamine labs in the United States, how he justified what he did because he put millions of dollars into church work, into mission work and things like that. And he's like, you know, that what he did is he said, God expects us to go out there and to make a way. He expects us to be the ant to work, you know, to go out and do things. I'm like, wow, if you can justify making methamphetamines, having one of the biggest labs that there is because you donate a lot of the money to church, people can justify anything.
That's a classic. What you just said to me is a classic example of people looking for a distraction not to be accountable to God. They're not really accountable to God. You know, it's so unlike God, the things that they say. And there's people all over the United States, all over, in ghettos and in, you know, they had a picture in our paper all along an area in Jackson, which has the highest crime rate in the whole United States, of people with, it's just unbelievable. You would not believe animals would live in situations like that. And yet we get so big on going to other countries, and I like, you know, I'm all for helping people, but it's just such a big political bunch of jargon, you know, rather than if they were accountable, if they truly believed that there was a global warming, which is a joke that they're saying it's going to happen as fast, unless God decides it's going to happen fast. I mean, like some movie they had out where it was overnight, I think. But if they would really believe that, then they would say, hey, world, we better really get serious here and call out on the God that created the world, or we're all going to be in trouble. But no, they get into all these things where we're going to, you know, all the different programs about the what do you call that with the green?
The green technology and all that?
Yeah. And I don't believe in just being wasteful, but so much of it is just like you were talking about. It's just not realistic.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that just really grips me, and there again, like you were talking about, is we as a church, if you consider yourself part of God's church, not any special denomination or anything, but if you count yourself, if you look in your mirror and you count yourself as part of God's church, then you have to look deep down and where does God tell us anything about judging things based on politics?
Right.
When everything that we're supposed to judge is according to his word of what's happening. And the key to it all is, and it makes it clear all throughout the Bible, is that the place we make the difference is placing ourselves before him and letting him mold us into his image. It's not about changing the world, although I do believe we have certain accountabilities. I believe God gave us,
right,
as man, control of this world. I don't think he wants us to waste. In my lifetime, I was able to work in Jacksonville, Arkansas at the Vertex Superfund site. That was a site that used to make weapons for the military. They were glad to get it because that was money that brought in for jobs. Y'all let it come in. The plant was gone. The war was over. And this stuff was all planted according to specs in the ground. And then it started showing up in the groundwater and the water systems around Jacksonville, Arkansas. And this, you can look this up. This is true. This is there. And so what do? The company's already gone, so the federal government and the state of Arkansas had to go in there and set up this Superfund site, and they had to develop some kind of special thing that could burn hot enough to burn up this toxin so that it infiltrated so it didn't get into the air. And they still had a waste product that they're putting in barrels that's still being stored there. You know, I don't know for how long, you know, it can be that it will hold. And so I do think that we need to realize that we do have some accountability, but I don't think it should be our message. I don't think that should be what we're all upset about. You know, we should be upset about that we've taken prayer out of our school. We should be upset that man does not care about his brother anymore. The neighbor used to be where you went in, you helped your neighbors put up his barn, and if you had to, you helped to put up their cross. Now your neighbor's a guy that lives next door to you that you don't know his name. Or you might wave at him if he's going in and you're going out. But you don't really, it's not like neighbor used to be. And I think it's kind of like making a copy of a copy of a copy. After a while, you can't even tell what the original image was anymore. And I pray that God's church has not got that far away from where it was, that it's not even close to being anything near the image of what it's supposed to be.
I hear what you're saying. I got to say this, though. They'll never take prayer out of school as long as they have algebra tests. Oh, that's my sense of humor.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I read something the other day that says living in a democratic nation means that we have the right to vote over who to blame. So, you know, somebody's always going to feel like they lost. Someone's always going to fly to one, and it's always whoever's in office, it's their fault for what's going on with their life.
And that's always been that way. I love our country. I really love what it was founded on, and I still maintain what God didn't give us. He made the most simplified pattern. He said, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wickedness, then God will hear, and he will heal our land of whatever the problem is, global warming, anything else. God is in control. And like you said, and like Bill said, he isn't surprised by anything. He is a mighty, awesome, wonderful God. And I'm so thankful that he's so available to anyone that would call out to him.
I agree. You know, one of the things for the people that talk about the drilling in Alaska and stuff, but I did want to get into that a little bit, and I thought I'd have a couple people that would bring that up. There's a guy that used to be the top CEO for Exxon Mobil, and he tried to put it out and he paid for it out of pocket, put some specials as infomercials out, and he brought up some things that I wasn't aware of. In the Gulf of Mexico, right now, we have oil leases that, you know, it's United States territorial waters, United States companies. So I don't know how the leases work, where I guess they bid for the rights for certain areas. We don't have enough oil rigs and gas rigs in this country to go in there and harvest the gas and oil now that we have leases on in the Gulf of Mexico. What they do is they sublease these to foreign countries, and then we end up buying our oil from these other people that are taking it out of our area that belongs to the citizens of the United States of America, because the companies can make more money off of it by letting, by subletting it to these other countries than they can by doing the work themselves. So how in the world, if we opened up the oil fields tomorrow, what he was saying is, we don't have the oil rigs to go in there and do it. And he said, it's not like you go to your local K-Bart and buy one of these. He said, it takes 7 to 8 years to build an oil rig.
It does?
So, yeah. I mean, because of all the safety devices and the valves and everything, it's not just a, like in the 1800s where they had a platform with a drill, like you're drilling for water. You got to worry about the pressure that they release off there when they get into the gas toxic things. He tried to explain all that, and it, most of it went way up above my head.
Wow.
But it's a very, well, a lot of people say, well, it's because we have all these safety regulations in our country that a lot of the other countries don't have. You got to make sure you don't let anything leak into the water, you know, leave a footprint in the environment and everything. And so, it's, you know, they're saying that's why it costs so much and why it takes so long to build an oil rig. But those things are huge. They're like little bitty cities. I mean, you couldn't go in and build BB, Arkansas, you know, in just a day or two. You know, it'd take a while to go in and build all the houses and businesses and everything to put it up. So that's one of the things that really grips me on everybody just wanting to open up this land to these counties, because basically what I feel is going to happen is, the companies are just going to make more money. They're going to sublet it out to these other companies again, and we're still going to be buying our oil from a foreign entity. So we've not really gained anything.
No. Greed is our is the god of this world. It seems like they can manipulate it around, so we're still having to pay the top dollar for things one way or another. But it's still the best country in the whole world. And you know, I was reading something last week that I don't know if we discussed it, or I mean, I think I had it for us to discuss. But God has really blessed this country so that we could, number one, be supportive to Israel. And, of course, if anybody wants to ever open that subject up, I really like to discuss that. And that we would be mission-minded, that we would be a rich enough country that we could reach out to other countries. And if we ever lose sight of why we're, you know, and begin to be so selfish, then we'll lose it some other way. It's just, you can't just, you know, hold on to all of it for ourselves, and it'll just slip right through our fingers. I'm amazed.
Charlie, you be sure to interrupt us if somebody else comes in with their hand raised. We don't want to shut anybody out. Jen, you're going to answer me. That shows what she thinks.
No one else has their hand raised.
She'll always
okay.
Let us know, won't she? Darla, I'd like to say hello to you today.
Well, hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. We'll just have a little chat here on the program. You do a great job. You and Wild Bill just have you on a little global warming, don't you? Oh, I shouldn't have
said that. A
different opinion. Pardon?
And different opinions.
What do you think about global warming?
I tend to believe like Sister Kaiser does. I think it's all in God's hands.
Yeah. But I do think that man does make an impact. I mean, when you look back in the beginning, that's what I started on looking at tonight. When you go back to Genesis, I mean, God had it all laid out. We had this garden. Man disobeyed God. God cursed the ground. He cursed the way the relationship was between a man and a woman. All of a sudden, man had to earn his, make his meals and stuff by the sweat of his brow. There was enmity put between the snake and mankind. And there was pain put in childbearing. The woman was under subjection to her husband. I mean, all that happened right there. And it even talks about God cursed the earth, where it was to bring forth thistles and thorns and all these things that wasn't there. So, you know, there was an impact from man right there. And then you can go just a little bit further with Cain and Abel. When Cain slew Abel, God said that his blood cried out from him where the earth had drank it up.
Yeah.
It opened his mouth and swallowed that blood. And how, you know, you want to talk about abortion, the blood of these innocent babies that are being killed, that's crying out. The curse of sin that we're putting forth right now And you want to say mankind cannot do anything to impact? And I found scripture after scripture after scripture where God told them, if you obey me, you follow me, I'll bless your land, I'll bless your harvest. But it makes it very clear that God is in charge of the harvest. He's in charge of, you know, who the lands won't produce for and who they do. And that that part of this does have to do with the people that obey and the people that disobey. And I agree that the United States of America, I think, had blessing after blessing after blessing based on that we were founded on principles of God. And we took what was meant to be religious freedom, and when we made it, and all of a sudden we got the right to be free from religion, instead of religious freedom. So it's come. It's just like Nebuchadnezzar's dream, where everything's getting softer, weaker, as far as the way things are. It's just it's all coming to pass, just like God knew it would.
I'm trying to get Sister Kaiser to say something else about that.
What?
All right, there she is. Y'all should hear her talk when she's talking to me. Are y'all
all
right?
I'm saying is, all I'm saying is, hello?
Yeah, we hear you.
You heard your mother, didn't you?
Yes.
There's a big echo on the line, so I hear myself twice. Which is enough.
Put your finger over your ear.
Well,
I'm playing.
I got a little finger. Anyway, I got to listen for what you were saying, Bill, about how America views this nation. They've abused their right to be the caretakers of this nation, and they have abused the lives of many, 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 many millions. I think I heard a quote one day this past week that there are like 32,000 babies or more been aborted in America alone, not counting around the world. God is looking down on all of them.
Yes.
And so we need to pray for God. It has anything to do with any of our laws, because God hates that kind of stuff.
I agree.
Of course, we had some people to say recently that they're, you know, with this one Secretary of State lady, she was from, I think, Austria, like years ago, but she came to the United States with our Secretary of State, and she said there is no need for one nation to be as big and as popular and as powerful as the United States. They're trying to blend all of our nations together, but this nation, because of how they felt about God, and we're reiterating things we've already said, but we can't say it enough to know that America has gone a million miles away from her original foundation. And, I mean, when a nation will say that it's okay for a woman to marry a woman or a man to marry a man, and then they have more power than regular citizens, that's not what God intended at all. In any way,
can I put you on the spot here a little bit? Do you think that our churches have maintained the status quo? Well, status quo is not the right word. Do you think that they have maintained the focus of what it should be? You know, we talk about how the United States has kind of dropped the ball, but, I mean, and our churches are great. I'm not trying to put them down, but, I mean, to really look at it, do you think we've maintained our message and our focus like we should have?
Not on a grand scale. It's like this. It's an individual thing, number one, with individuals. And then the churches, just put a generic term, the churches are falling. And they're falling on their lifestyles. They let a lot of things come in that we absolutely did not agree with. We preached against it years ago. But the things I preach, I always try to be biblically based and founded in the Word of God, not just my opinion, not just what I think. But what does the Bible say about mixing and mingling and coming out in the world to be a separate and a, you know, there's so many scriptures like that.
Yeah.
But see, if you say those things, you're well, right now I'm classified. I'm number one classified as a radical, fanatic, dogmatic, you know, systematic. I mean, but why not? Why not be all of that? Because be like me, you'll be out in left field, and there you'll be. But to answer your question, I hope that's right, Bill, because the churches have let down Because if you compromise and let down and move from your original statement in any way, shape, or fashion, well, the Bible talks about remove not the ancient landmark. Get this. This came to me just a few days ago, well, a few weeks ago, talking about the landmark. God said, remove not the ancient landmark. Wait, he just was instructing that that be written. He knew it was ancient. The landmark was there before the word was ever there. Before the word was spoken, before the word was written, the landmark was there. He said, remove not the ancient landmark. But so that I think that answers your question. We have changed. We have moved our landmarks. We have hitched up our spiritual wagon with a holy rolling out of date. And it's just crazy.
Yeah. I know technology has changed, and a lot of we try to use excuses with that, and things are different and everything, but sin is still sin. You know, holy is still holy. Being separate is still being separate. And those are the things that may not be the most popular to say. And I still say the churches are still doing some great works. And like you said, it's an individual thing. We can't stand before God and say, well, my church said this, or my church said that,
well,
and my pastor said this, or they said this. Or you can't say, well, my neighbor did this, you know, based on your perception. We do have to start it as an individual thing. You can't blame. And that's the thing. Everybody's got into the blame game. You know, when you get scared, all of a sudden, it's, you know, like Adam, you know, well, Lord, it was Eve. You gave her to me. You know, Eve, it was a serpent, you know. But,
that's wrong.
You know,
that's
it's,
he started with Adam. Adam started it all. God, you're that woman. She made me do it.
Actually, he was actually blaming God, the woman you gave me. You know, he first started with that. There's a great scripture, if y'all want me to read it. In Luke,
we got a minute and a half. Go ahead.
Okay, it's 18 through 19, Luke 4. This is what God said when the Lord was speaking. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." We're talking about, you know, where the churches have fallen down or the individual, but if Christ is our example, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So we got a lot to do if we're going to be following that commission and that example.
Right. The show next week, I hate to jump on next week, we're about to run out of time, but we're going to discuss what does Easter mean to you. We're coming up on Easter Sunday. And as you age and go through different times in life and different messages, God's working with you and everything, you find that different things have different meanings to you. And so I just want everyone to share, what does Easter mean to you? And that I'm really looking forward to that. So I want to thank everybody that called in tonight. Go ahead.
I was just ready.
She was teasing.
But anyway, I also want to remind everybody again, this is the month of March. Alerts, the number one, supplements.com has a 10% discount coupon code. All you got to do is put in the word tight for the month of March, and that'll give you an extra 10% off. Plus, you'll get a free blender bottle if you get a protein powder mix of 5 pounds or more. So everyone that can, take advantage of that. And again, I want to thank all of our callers. We pray that God blesses you, and we sure thank you for calling in. And does anybody else have anything they want to add to the show tonight?
I want to ask you what the word was again. The
kite, K-I-T-E.
K-I-T-E, like flies in the sky. Okay.
Well, fly kites. You know, used to in March, that was a big thing. You know, the winds would pick up, and that's when they start showing the kites. The weather would change in springtime. And although we got global warming now, so it's still bitterly cold.
Well, thank you, Wild Bill and Starla, for the program. I enjoyed it.
Well, we thank you all for calling in and the different opinions and things. I had a buddy I thought was going to call in. He really gets excited talking about all this global warming stuff and everything. He has some real good points. He definitely has some research on some things that I didn't. He was talking about how they were worried about the impact of the pipeline when they were putting that in and the footprint it was going to make with the animals and everything. And they've learned now that the pipeline actually produces heat, and that I think it's the elk, maybe the deer, hang around the pipeline now for the heat, and they're where they used to breed once a year. They now breed twice a year, so there's actually more deer and elk than what there was before. So, you know, I really thought he was going to, you know, share some of those viewpoints with us. He told me one time he gets way too emotional on that stuff, and I keep bringing up things in the Bible. I'm like, if you're getting this stirred up over this and everything, you know, we, you know, it might be a problem. Everyone, like you said, everyone has a nose, has an opinion, and probably some of those people that ain't got noses got opinions. And this is just a place to let people, you know, share what's on their mind. So we're at the end of our show. We'll say God bless everyone. Thank you for calling in, and we'll be back next Tuesday night talking about what Easter means to you. God bless.